Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
Welcome to the Hollywood Casino Press Box with your host, Frank Cusimano.
Here's the pitch. Linder, there it is! Into left field! It's number 3,000! A run is scored! Musial around first! On his way to second with a double!
The best interviews and the most informed insight.
And that's McGaffey breaking free, has a seam and a crease. The kicker can't trip him up. Headed for the end zone. Will it be back-to-back weeks? Yes!
All tied together with the experience of over 20 years of local broadcasting excellence in St. Louis.
Now Stasny gets away from a check to Fabry. Wide open. Brower. Rebound. He scores. Troy Brower. The former blockup has given the Blues a 3-2 lead.
Now, here is Frank Cusimano on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
Good morning and welcome. Hollywood Casino Press Box on the all-new 590 The Fan. Frank Cusimano with you until 12 o'clock, and wild, we have a good program for you today. Joe Micheletti, NBC Sports, 10:30. Chris Kerber, Voice of the Blues, 10:45. Dan Shanka, our lads, talking NFL Draft. Speaking of the NFL Draft, some counter-programming tonight, Brian, by 590 The Fan. The Blues are on one radio station tonight, but Chuck Tuna and H. Balzer will be conducting an NFL draft show tonight.
From live from Schnucks, did you say Harvester Square? Is that where it's taking place at?
Yes.
Let me check our schedule real quick.
Let's
we can get the actual
yes,
address.
It's called...
A lot of Schnucks out there.
Oh, boy. Let's see. Okay, yeah, Schnucks Harvester Square. And it's going to be a big one. St. Charles, Missouri. This is Howard's 42nd NFL draft.
That is 60 Harvester Square, the official address. So there we go. Take a listen and get all the what you could do. And I don't know if the timing will work out or not. What would be great is if Chuck Tuna loses his bet live on 590 The Fan.
Oh, that'd be good.
Now, I don't know if the timing will work out because he's only on for 2 hours. I don't know how long this first round will be, when Drew Lock, if
we
he's drafted,
should.
When it'll happen.
The first round will last every bit of 4 hours.
Right.
That's
okay,
usually what it is.
Let's find out real quickly. Is it 5 minutes between picks? Because if they start, is it starting at 6 or 7?
Probably 7.
I mean, they did it. I think
yeah,
they changed. It's going to be 4 hours.
8 Eastern.
Okay, so 7 St. Louis time. And if it's 5 minutes for pick, let's just say he's picked 12. Come on, Capozzi. Let's put that math mind. Is it 5 minutes?
I'm trying to find out how long there is in between picks.
So that would be an hour and 10 minutes, give or take. Something like that, 12 picks with 5 minutes, and then you got commercials, so you're talking maybe an hour and 45 minutes total with commentary.
So that should be...
Oh, yeah, this should be in the prime right now.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Chuck, boy, how embarrassing to lose a bet live on the air. That would be rough.
Now, operations.nfl.com says 10 minutes.
Oh, yeah, Chuck will be off.
But I don't know if this is an outdated article or not, but... At least, so I guess we're looking at about 10 minutes.
And they probably won't start right at 7.
Oh, heavens no.
No.
No, they won't pick. They won't start the draft at 7:15.
Yeah, I hate about this draft. It's all these guys hugging the commish and stuff. You know how he gives them those big bear hugs? I mean, I didn't mind it before, but I just dislike him so much. Ugh.
TV Guide has it going until 10:30, which you know it'll probably go later than that.
Oh, yeah.
All right, let's get going with the Worldwide Technology Raceway opening monologue. Let's begin with lap one. We have arrived. 5 days off. Rest or rust? You can all have a prediction about the series. You're entitled to do that. Absolutely. But if anybody feels really good about your prediction, you're full of yourself, all right? No one should have a good feel about this series. No one. After all, this is the first time in major North American pro sports history, and we're talking NHL, NBA, MLB, and NFL, that every division winner was eliminated in their opening series. That is parody Pete Rozelle style, but it's happened in the National Hockey League. That is unbelievable. This is the league where anything can happen. So when the Blues, who were third, and the Stars, who were fourth, get together, absolutely anything can happen. Craig Berube had these thoughts on the series and the keys for the Blues.
They defend really well, and you know, they'll get in shooting lanes. They block a lot of shots. I think in the playoffs, or this year in the playoffs, or maybe first in blocks. I'm not sure. It's 20 some a game. I thought I read, but you know, again, that's playoff hockey. But that's where the frustration can get set in. So we got to make sure that we're. Patient offensively, I guess, at times, and not getting so many shots blocked, moving the puck around, doing a good job that way, trying to create, get on the inside a little bit more, and second and third opportunities around the net are going to be key.
Lap two. Worldwide Technology Raceway opening monologue. So on January 2nd, they were in last place. You know about that. Their record was 15-18-4. And you know what happened 5 days later? Craig Berube said, okay, Jordan Binnington, we're going to give you your chance to start a game. He shut out the Flyers. And then he went 24-5-1. 24-5-1. But he may only be the second best goalie in this series. Because Benny Bishop could be winning the Vezina. The scouting report on Bishop comes from Reed Lowe.
Yeah, he's a big guy. He moves the puck real well. He's like a third defenseman out there for those guys. That was always been one of his strengths. But he also moves in the net real well. Side to side, he's long, he's lanky. You know, the wraparound play is not going to be available with him in the net. When he's in the butterfly position, he's big. His shoulders are big. His arms are out. He's got a good blocker. He made a real nice blocker save the other night against Nashville. He was going right up top corner and he just right to the side. So this is a guy the Blues are going to have to get a lot of traffic in front of him. They're going to have to irritate him. They're going to have to get him upset because the more he plays unhappy, the more opportunity they're going to have to get him pucks behind him.
Hey, Brian, just for the heck of it, I think he's 6'7". Is he considered the tallest goalie of all time? I think Ken Dryden was big. Have we ever had anybody taller than 6'7"? And imagine that on skates. That seems like...
He's the tallest today. I'm trying to think of who's the tallest of all time.
And he is listed at a legit 6'7".
Yes.
Gosh. 6'7", with that kind of athleticism moving. How are you going to score off of him, Plowsy?
Tippins. I mean, that's what you got to do. I mean, pucks he doesn't see, you know,
deflection.
Things like that, which we are good at, Schwartz, with that game winner.
Yeah.
So you're capable. You're not going to get some lazy goal. You're not going to get an easy goal in through Ben Bishop.
All right. Lap three. The Cardinals. Let's talk Waino. Now, when spring training began, if you had to guess, after five starts, what Cardinal starter would be the workhorse? Who would you have taken? I think you probably would have gone with Miles Michaelis first, okay? I mean, with what he did last year, 18-4, just quality start after quality start, all right? Then you'd probably take Jack Flaherty second because of his ability and those glistening stats down the stretch last year. You maybe take Carlos Martinez third, although he does have the injury history, but you know, could say arguably he had the best stuff on the staff. Now, this is before he got hurt. This is when spring training began. I don't know. Do you take Waka with that injury history fourth? Maybe. I don't know. Dakota, you know, the minor league pitcher of the year. Well, there's only one Cardinals starting pitcher who's gone six innings three times. And his name is Adam Wainwright. Yesterday, six innings, four hits, three Ks, and one walk. It was victory number 150 for the 37-year-old. And he was aware of that milestone.
I'm glad to get there. You know, it's a, for whatever reason, those numbers, you know, that those things like that, they stand out and they mean something to pitchers and to position players and all those kind of cool, you know, feats that you can accomplish. It means something to me. I'm proud to have been a Cardinal for the whole time of it, too, and proud to win most of those with my brother, Yadier Molina, and a lot of those in front of these great fans here in St. Louis.
Of all the things surprising about this season. This guy turning back the clock and being a force could be the most surprising. And as he said, I'm not done yet. Wouldn't that be crazy if he has a terrific season? That would be awesome. You know, we came back with post-game interviews yesterday. And, you know, normally we like to, you know, divvy things up, show this guy at 5, this guy at 6, this guy at 10. I just told our producer, Andy Moeller, we just talked to Wainwright. We really don't need to have any other sound. All right, lap 4. Let's talk Marcell Ozuna, who did it again yesterday. He did it again.
On in the 2-1 pitch, Ozuna out to left. It is gone. He was due. And a 3-run homer puts the Cardinals on top.
You know, I'm seeing a guy that's seeing the ball well, that's in the zone, taking what the game gives him, not trying to do too much, trusting his strength. It was on display today with the ball he hit. Just trusting his ability, trying to put a good at bat together.
Wow. He's now on pace for 61 homers and 142 RBIs.
Do it.
Reggie Jackson once donned the cover of Sports Illustrated in his free agent year with the Baltimore Orioles, and the caption read, "Hitting a million." Marcell could be hitting 100 million or even more. He has the 8th hardest hit ball in baseball at 115 miles an hour. He is 9th in slugging in the National League, and he's 10th in OPS. So, the commish is right. The outfield situation is not 4 guys for 3 spots. It's 3 guys for 2 spots. Harrison Bader, Dexter Fowler, and Jose Martinez for 2 spots. And who knows what happens when Tyler O'Neill comes back. By the way, speaking of Jose, he has become quite a hockey fan also.
At the last Blues hockey game, you gonna be going? Jose, we saw you at the last Blues hockey game. You gonna be going to some more of this series?
100%. We gotta be there. I mean, you know, gotta support people of St. Louis over there. I went over there to the atmosphere, and it was really fun. So I'll be there next one.
And if you were a hockey player, you would be who?
The referee. I'm not gonna play this ball.
Did you grow up watching a lot of hockey in Venezuela?
No.
Can't skate probably either.
I mean, everybody just trying to get me there, and you know, for use of support for the city, I'll be there 100%. If I have to just get up and when everybody's cheering, I'll be like, oh yeah, I'll do it too. You know, why not? So it's fun. It's fun. So I'll be there next time for sure.
He is always entertaining. Absolutely, he'll be there. Yachty will probably be there. Wayne will be there. Fowler may be there. Wong may be there.
What are they going to do Saturday? 2 p.m.
What time is Cardinal game?
Like 1:15. It's going to be a hectic downtown Saturday afternoon.
That'll be tough. That'll be tough.
Yachty just plays the first 3 innings and goes to the Enterprise Center.
Yeah. All right, lap 5. Nashville, Tennessee is the football capital of the country. The NFL draft. I guess there's a little suspense with that first pick. I mean, it's going to be Kyler Murray, but will the Cardinals be making the pick? It's kind of odd that they haven't definitively said it. I think it will be. I mean, they hired the coach for this reason, I believe. Then there's Drew Locke. Boy, there's some questions here. Does he go 6 to the Giants? Doubt it. 10 to the Broncos? Maybe. 11 to the Bengals? 13 to the Dolphins? Yeah. 15 to the Redskins. Or does he really slide late to the Raiders at 24-27? And then the Patriots at 32. Dan Orlovsky played 7 years in the National Football League. He is now a terrific ESPN analyst. He gave this scouting report on Drew.
Missouri's Drew Locke, the biggest wild card quarterback of this draft. His greatest asset is his arm strength, hands down the strongest of this class, and he's very aggressive with it. I also like his command of the run-pass option offense, a look Missouri is heavy on, and an offense we see more and more of in the pros. There's a lot to like here, and the evaluators at Scouts Inc. agree, grading him at 89 out of 100. When it comes to the question marks, though, my focus is at the line of scrimmage. Locke had 5 passes batted down at the line this past season. tied for the 11th most in the nation. That raises concerns about his release point, especially at the NFL level, where linemen only get larger. Despite that, there's no doubt Locke has the look of a pro quarterback. He measured in at 6'3¾" at the combine, weighing 228 pounds. That's nearly identical to Jay Cutler's measurables, who checked in at just over 6'3", 226 pounds at his combine. Though Locke is physically reminiscent of Cutler, the Missouri product is a longer shot to reach his full potential. ESPN Sports Analytics projections, based on Scouts Inc. grades and combine measurables, give Locke a 15% chance to become a Pro Bowl signal caller in his first three seasons, compared to the 25% Cutler would have had when he was coming out.
Boy, that is really breaking it down, isn't it?
Okay, that last thing's stupid.
Yeah.
Our Scouts Inc.'s grades, which aren't at all defined and are very vague in the video, say he's got a 15% chance of being a Pro Bowler. What?
In his first 3 years. Man, I mean, that shows ESPN's got a lot of, not a whole lot going on if they're spending that much time on that. That's just crazy. But that it was interesting, of all the quarterbacks in this draft, he has the highest percentage of becoming a starter and the highest percentage of becoming a Pro Bowl quarterback. So if you guys had to guess tonight, do you think he slips past Washington at 15, knowing that you have 10, 11, 13, and 15 that are all could be quarterback bound? Do you think he will go later than 15? Plowsy, your thoughts?
Yes, I think he'll go in the first round. I think there'll be a lot of...
No, the question was later than 15.
Yes, he'll go later than 15.
Oh, so Washington won't take him?
He'll go later than 15. All right. Think whatever team picks him will draft or will trade up from maybe the second round or late in the first round and get him late in the first round.
I am Team Martin on this one. I want him to go late.
That's what I want.
I want him
okay,
to go
but now
like...
You had to bet. Do you think he'll get past Washington at 15?
If I had to bet, though, I still would, yeah.
Yeah, I could see it happening.
We could go a dollar bet, the two of us here.
I would. You owe me a milk. I know your milkshake
I
transferred
to
Charlie, so Charlie owes me.
Let's go a dollar. So, because this, what's the place over here?
Openwise.
God, they are good.
Yeah. They're fantastic. Man. But yeah, we'll bet a dollar.
Dollar?
Yeah, sure.
Dollar?
Totally. Let's do it.
Now you're all rooting against Locke.
Yeah. My favorite Chris Gardner story, by the way, involves Openwise, because he used to, for people listening, it's in the plaza where we're at now. You can just walk on a sidewalk that curves around up towards Manchester Road where it is. You could see it easily from at least the front of our building. He used to drive to the Overweis.
What?
Yes.
We're talking like 100 feet
it's
or something.
It's the same lot. And honestly, yeah, and you could walk. There's a cover that takes you. It's completely covered the whole way, so even if the weather's bad or if it's a little hot,
oh my God,
you'll have shade the whole way through. He used to drive to it.
That is one of the best ever.
I would make fun of him endlessly for that. Like, even just like, you can convince yourself, hey, at least I'm walking to it before I get ice cream. But no, he would drive.
Yeah, wow. I'm not surprised.
That is classic. Drew had a good quote. I would rather go 32nd to the right team, Patriots, than one to a bad team. Arizona.
Shot against the Cardinals, yeah.
Here's the thing, though. No, you wouldn't.
Yeah,
but you know you're not going to go number one. Yeah. You definitely say that for teams later on in the first round to pick you.
Thing about it, too, is there's just not a lot of like really great situations to come into. Like you think about like the Bengals, God, that organization just stinks. You know, the Dolphins.
And
know.
No team is one rookie quarterback away from being contenders.
Yeah.
So when you're starting immediately, you're it's going to be rough.
Ask Jared Goff about that first year. That was the worst, most miserable year. Now it's worked out for him. And then the Redskins. Can you imagine being in that atmosphere?
No, I don't like that.
Where football is crazy. They got a
The owner
team.
Is crazy.
You have an
though.
Idiot
yeah.
owner.
Yeah, he's an idiot. Uh-huh. I guess would be more.
Did you hear about him? He's kind of
involved now.
He's going to take over the draft. They said
he's the worst kind of owner. I know. Yeah. I guess in terms of owners who won't move the team, but just way too involved and doesn't know what he's doing.
The Albert Haynesworth $120 million deal, and he played like three games.
I mean, Jerry Jones gets involved, but at least Jerry Jones like. played football and knows a little bit, but he look at
But he's getting on the edge of off your three Super Bowls from 20-some years. Yeah. I he's getting there. But
the best owners are the ones that hire great people and stay out.
Yes.
Lap six. Stream of consciousness. Now, you know I've said that the greatest player in sports that should be a household name who isn't is Damian Lillard. In all of sports right now, he's arguably one of the top seven basketball players in the world. Giannis, Harden, Curry, Durant, LeBron, who when he's healthy, and Joel Embiid, and then Lillard. He's top seven right now. But another guy who is really, really special that I was watching late last night that you really have to watch is Sweet Lou Williams. I call him Sweet Lou because of Sweet Lou Hudson, but he's just unbelievable. He destroyed Golden State. Destroyed them last night. Clippers have forced a game six, and I love this stat. Saw it early this morning. The Clippers became the first team to win two playoff games as a double-digit underdog. And this Montrezl Harrell, who Rick Pitino coached at Louisville, he's a monster, too. You know, Golden State has trouble guarding these big athletic power forwards. Yeah, there you are. That's a fun series. Hey, two quick things to eat. Was it Lester's last night? Mm. They had the Impossible Burger. It's a vegetarian burger, and when you're eating it, you don't think you're eating a vegetarian burger. That's the true sign of a vegetarian burger. Really good. And then one of the best 10 things I've eaten probably this year, the lamb sliders at the Greek Kitchen. They use this great lamb, and they put this feta cheese spread on it. With this bread, I'm telling you, it is really good. Finally, quick thought about Joey Vitale, who had the unenviable task of replacing the always popular Kelly Chase. Tell you what, I've been listening to him. He's done a great job. I mean, nobody's going to be Kelly Chase, but Joey has done a terrific job. He really has. All right, those are some of my thoughts. Let's hear some of yours. Blues and Stars, the Waino comeback, the NBA postseason, and Drew Locke and the draft. When we come back, we are going to be joined by one of the best in the business, Joe Micheletti.